This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. Right now, though, we are turning our attention over to the US, where last Friday, the $1.2 trillion US dollar bipartisan physical infrastructure plan failed a Senate vote, leaving President Joe Biden's key legislative priority somewhat in flux. Now, that said, it could get another chance to move forward as soon as today. As the 22 bipartisan senators continue to hammer out the details.
Their chant or their motto needs to be, let's get physical infrastructure and just go with it, right? Just get something catchy going on. Now, if the I was actually tempted to sing that song out earlier, but anyway, if the bipartisan...
I'm just rolling my eyes really hard right now, but okay.
It's nostalgia, Lynn. That's how you sell things, right? 20 years later, you bring back a franchise. I mean, Mission Impossible, just a TV show once upon a time. Anyway, if the deal goes through, the revamp transportation, broadband, utilities, you know, all these are falling apart. If they fall apart, Democrats will have to consider whether to pair physical infrastructure plans with their separate $3.5 trillion package to address climate change, childcare, and healthcare. But that, I presume, would have a much steeper fight ahead of it. Democrats need to keep at least 10 Republican senators on board for the bipartisan plan to pass. They also cannot lose a single Democratic vote in the Senate to pass their bill through the budget reconciliation process.
So will Biden be able to successfully navigate these treacherous political waters and, of course, secure his legislative legacy by getting these stimulus bills passed? To shed some light on the progress of the latest infrastructure stimulus is Adrian Ang, research fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies in Singapore. Adrian, thank you for joining us today. So could you provide for us some context on the relative size and scale of this infrastructure package versus previous stimulus and infrastructure bills? Of course, what are the key elements that stand out to you?
Right. So as you've mentioned, the bipartisan infrastructure framework is going to cost $1.2 trillion over 8 years, but just only about half of it is actually in new spending. So if we compare it to previous stimulus bills, it is 50% larger than President Obama's American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, which only totaled about $800 billion. But right, so the U.S. has already spent, you know, over $5 trillion in stimulus in the last 18 months. So this is going to bring total stimulus spending to over $6 trillion and close to one-third of U.S. GDP.
Well, why did this plan in the first place fail to get the necessary support at the Senate level? Do the arguments of opponents have merits, or are they mainly political?
Okay, so last week's vote really was about sort of a technical detail, because the Republicans objected to voting for the bill in principle because the bill hasn't been drafted, right? So they said they were not going to vote for the bill before it was drafted. But of course, you know, there have been exceptions where senators have voted in principle for bills before the legislation has actually been drafted.
Now, this $1.2 trillion bill, Adrian, is a bipartisan effort, or supposedly a bipartisan effort, with support from some Republicans. I guess, you know, whenever it comes to bills like this, there are always concessions that need to be made. What are the concessions that Democrats needed to make here to get some Republicans on board, and at the very least?
Right. So the Democrats have actually made concessions by splitting their plans in half. So Republicans from the get-go made it clear that they were only going to support a physical infrastructure bill. So as you guys had mentioned earlier, this is about, you know, bridges, roads, highways, broadband, water, and they were not going to be voting for, you know, what we would call human infrastructure, right? Sort of healthcare, long-term care. So that the Democrats have hived off into a separate $3.5 billion package that they hope to pass as budget reconciliation. So right now, a big key difference between the two sides is how is it going to be paid for. So Republicans are insistent that, you know, they do not want to undo any of the 2017 Trump tax cuts.
So will the tax cuts then be that deal breaker between whether the Democrats can pass any legislation or not? Because the tax cuts would be very counterintuitive. Keeping them around would be very counterintuitive towards the Democratic agenda. So what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, see, I think the Republicans have some leverage, but the Democrats have leverage here as well, because one of the key reasons that, you know, Biden and the Democrats had to sort of split their stimulus bill and take a two-track strategy was people like Senator Manchin of West Virginia and Senator Sinema of Arizona insisted that they go with the bipartisan approach to try to get Republicans on board. But both Manchin and Sinema have said that, you know, if the Republicans don't go through with support for the bipartisan infrastructure framework, they are actually prepared to take, right, the physical infrastructure parts of the plan and tack it on to the $3.5 billion budget resolution.
And of course, speaking of that $3.5 trillion package that's focusing on social care, healthcare, climate change, what's the probability of getting that approved?
Again, you know, you guys mentioned earlier, it's going to take all 50 Democrats sticking together, and also basically the entire House Democratic Caucus sticking together as well. And don't forget, because they're going to pass it through budget reconciliation, the bill would also have to go through the Senate parliamentarian, right? So the Senate parliamentarian will be able to go through the bill and basically strike out any elements that McDonough, that doesn't believe that those provisions have to do with taxing and spending. So right now, I would probably say that the budget resolution bill is probably going to have an easier time because, right, the Democrats will want to get this passed, right? Whereas they have some doubt about whether the Republicans are actually sincere, right, in giving them the 10 votes that will be necessary to pass the bipartisan infrastructure framework.
So, Adrian, maybe you could just quickly just give us a bit of insight as to why those 10 Republicans are so important, right? Because, you know, when the Democrats won those two seats in Georgia and got 50 seats in the Senate, it was supposedly a big deal, right? It was supposed to be the start of this blue wave because they've got the VP, they can break ties. So if they can get 50 votes in the Senate and can break ties, what is stopping them from passing the bills through the Senate and just going through with their agenda? Is it merely the filibuster concern, or are there other things on the agenda or other concerns in mind?
Right. So the filibuster is definitely a concern, right? Because I think both Biden has said that he is not for the abolition of the filibuster. And you have senators like, again, Manchin and Sinema who refuse to consider abolishing the filibuster, right? So they are going to need some Republican help on that bill.
And the magic number is 60, is that right? 60 senators,
yes,
in total.
Right. So you need 60 senators to vote to end a filibuster, to invoke cloture, yes.
Well, bring it closer to home, with significant spending in the works for physical infrastructure and also climate change, what are its implications for China and Malaysia or Southeast Asia?
Right. So, yes. Right. So we have seen over the last month, right, sort of, terrible instances of climate change, flooding in China, wildfires in the U.S. So, you know, both the U.S. and China have to get their act together, right, to fix climate. But, right, I would actually like to point out that, you know, while all this debate about infrastructure is going on, there is a looming crisis. Actually, not so much looming, it's going to happen this week, because the two-year debt ceiling deal that was done in 2019 expires on July 31st. So technically, beginning on August the 1st, the U.S. government cannot borrow any more money, right? And the Senate Republicans have basically said they are in no hurrying to work out a deal to deal with the debt ceiling.
And Adrian, just very quickly, I mean, Biden promised to be a uniter-in-chief in the elections, and he's not been able to show that so far. Is his strategy going forward going to be to appease the progressives in his party or drive for bipartisan consensus? I mean, particularly as midterm elections loom next year.
Right. I think, again, sort of, I think temperamentally he is for bipartisan, right? So he has been a creature of the Senate, he's served almost 4 decades in the Senate. So he is wedded to this idea of bipartisanship. But bipartisanship is also a two-way street. So, you know, he needs Republicans to show reciprocity. And so far, right, sort of minority leader McConnell has shown really not much interest in showing any sort of bipartisanship. So, you know, although Republicans are interested in getting some parts of the infrastructure plan done, because, you know, even Republican members of Congress want to be able to go back to their districts and tell their constituents that they have got, right, sort of infrastructure funding for their districts, right? But this is just part of the larger problem of polarization in the U.S. that Biden is facing.
Right. Adrian, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Adrian Ng, research fellow at RSIS, on the political jostling taking place in order to pass Joe Biden's second stimulus package. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.